We as a church, we're going through a series. We just started it last week. It's a four-week series talking about being on mission, that we are living our lives on mission. There's a purpose and there's a goal for our lives. There's a mission going on in our lives. This series is taking us through the book of Acts. We're not looking through the whole book during this series, but we're taking 4 weeks to look at some key moments in the book of Acts. Acts is an important book in the Bible because it tells us what happens right after the resurrection. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell the story of Jesus. It tells about the life of Jesus culminating in his death and then resurrection from the grave. Acts picks up the story where the Gospels end off. So the Gospels end with the resurrection. Acts picks up the story there and says, what happens next? Talks about how the church, how the disciples became empowered by the Holy Spirit and how they begin telling people about Christ and what had happened. People start submitting their lives to Christ and the church begins to grow. And this is a mighty work. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit is how the beginning of the church begins. How the church begins and what happens post-resurrection. So what is life in light of the resurrection look like? And we see that life post-resurrection, the life of the believer is a life that is meant to be lived on mission for God. There is a mission that Christ gave us. It's in Acts 1:8. I included it in your bulletin because it's such an important verse. It's going to drive this whole series, this verse does. This is after Jesus has been put in the grave. He's been died on the cross, put in the grave, resurrected with power. He appears to his disciples and says to them these words before ascending to heaven. He gives them this message. In Acts 1:8, he says, You, my followers, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. That's the mission. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So here Jesus gives his followers, initially that first group of followers, but that mission extends beyond them. It's been carried out throughout generations and generations and centuries and decades and all throughout time. That mission's been continuing, and now it's our time in this mission to pick up the baton of this mission and carry it forward as we seek out to accomplish this mission for God. And the mission is this, to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Our mission is to be Christ's witnesses, to tell others about Christ, about what we know of God, what we've experienced of him, to tell others, to be witnesses of what he's done. And this is important for us to understand. This doesn't mean it's like, okay, we need to just go tell everybody to force them to believe and to make the force them that they got to think like us and we got to prove others wrong and win the argument. This is a different mentality. Instead, it's a, boy, what God has done in my life, I just need to tell others about it. Christ has done such a work in me. It's made such a difference and he's made such an impact in my life. And love, I want to tell others about it. I want to be Christ's witness. I want to tell others what he has done in me and for me and how much he has loved me and he loves you too and wanting to share that. So it's just been so important. It's this important thing to tell others about what he's done. So this started, 2,000 years ago and is continuing even today. What he told those initial disciples, his initial followers, he says, you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And those are kind of important places. We may miss this because we're not familiar with the territory. But when he says, I want you to be my witness in Jerusalem, well, that's the city they were living in. That's where they were at the time. He says, I want you to be my representative, my witness around you in the city of Jerusalem. So when he says, be my witness in Jerusalem, he's talking about the city they're living in. And then he says, be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Judea is the region, the area. So Jerusalem's the city, Judea is the area. So if our city is Long Beach, our area is California. So that'd be a kind of a similar thing. So when he says, I want you to be my witness in the city, but then also in the area, in the whole region, I want you to be my witnesses. And then he says, not just in Judea, but into Samaria. Samaria is a neighboring region, and there was a cultural difference between them from Judea and Samaria. And they didn't really like Samaritans. There was some racial discord there. There's some issues there. And he says, not only do I want you to be my witnesses in the city and in your whole region, I want you to be my witness cross-culturally to other people groups. like Samaria. And then finally it says to the ends of the earth. So that obviously includes everywhere. So this is the mission Christ gave his initial followers and continues on with us as we continue on this mission of being his witnesses in all these areas. And this is important for us to understand, to be able to refocus ourselves on the mission of why we are saved, why Christ has done that work in us. It's more than just for me. Christ has done a work in me so that I can accomplish this mission of being his witness to tell others about him. That this is the goal of our salvation. I mean, yes, we get to go to heaven. Yes, we're forgiven. Yes, we're called sons of God and daughters of God, and that's an awesome thing. But there's something even greater than that. There's a purpose. There's a mission, and that's for us to be his witnesses to tell others about him. Easter's coming up. It's right around the corner. And this is such a great opportunity for us as a church to accomplish his mission, to be about his mission. So I think it's important for us as a church to be on mission for Christ, on mission to get refocused on the mission of God. Easter's a time where people who don't normally go to church, they'll go to church on Easter. Like the people that go to church twice a year, Mother's Day and Easter, right? Those are the 2 days that people will go to church. And so Easter is an important day. We're going to have people sitting in these pews that maybe don't normally sit in these pews. And it's important on us to be on mission and ready to love and receive people with joy and to have that mindset to love our neighborhood and understand the reason God is doing this work in us is to accomplish his mission, that we're supposed to live life on mission. And we need these reminders, right? Because left to our own, the mission of life tends to be kind of self-centered. Like maybe Christ has saved us for a grander mission, but so quickly we turn that mission and that focus and kind of refocus it onto ourselves about trying to get that career going or build up the bank account or grab some pleasure. Or, you know, we have all these personal goals, personal missions we give our lives to. So this is why this series is so important, to remind us, to refocus us on the real mission. The reason that you are saved, the reason that that you've been loved into the kingdom of God is so that then you can also love others into the kingdom of God as well, to live life on mission. And we've seen, starting last week, that Pastor Terry brought the message, and we see from that, from where we started last week, that the force behind this mission, the power on display in this mission, is really the Holy Spirit. That He, the Holy Spirit, is driving this mission. He is the one accomplishing this mission. All through the book of Acts, we see, if you read it carefully, you'll see, if you start looking for it, you'll notice that it's always talking about the work of the Spirit. As they were filled with the Spirit, they did this. As they were filled with the Spirit, they did that. And the Spirit moved in this way, and the Spirit guided and directed this way. The Holy Spirit is the one accomplishing this mission. That He is the power, He is the one accomplishing the mission. And so today we want to spend our time today, as we look at this grand picture of the mission of God and the Holy Spirit accomplishing it, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit, one of the ways the Holy Spirit accomplishes his mission, one of the ways the Holy Spirit brings about this mission. And so to see that, we're going to open up to Acts chapter 6 is going to be our passage today. Acts chapter 6 verses 1 through 7 is what we're going to be looking at together. Acts 6:1-7. And we're going to see how this mission that was been provided in Acts 1:8, how one of the ways it's been accomplished, and how the Holy Spirit brought it about. Acts 6, verses 1 through 7. This is what it says. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, hear that? It's already happening. The mission's happening. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Okay, so here we see at the culmination of this passage in verse 7 that the mission is being accomplished. Like this was verse 7 makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is doing his job, the mission is being accomplished, that the word of God is spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem, that was the first part of the mission, right? Be my witnesses in Jerusalem. It's happening. So verse 7 is like, the Holy Spirit is accomplishing his mission. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So we see the mission being accomplished. So that presents us with a question. Well, what happened? How did the Holy Spirit bring about the accomplishing of this mission? What did he do? Well, that's verses 1 through 6. 1 through 6 told us how the Holy Spirit worked that resulted in verse 7, this fulfillment of the mission. So what was going on that the Holy Spirit, how did the Holy Spirit work? What was the context? What was happening here? Well, the church was growing. There was more people coming into the fold. The church was growing and growing as more and more people were counting themselves disciples of Christ. And as the church grew, the need for ministry grew. Like as more and more people were coming to the church, there was more and more ministry that had to be done. More and more needs to be met and more ministry that had to happen. Specifically, what ministry they talked about here was a ministry of providing food to the widows. And this was an important ministry of the church because widows at that time had no other really source for help. There was no social aid going on, no government assistance, nothing like that. In that time period, women couldn't work, so they were very dependent on their husbands to provide for them. When there's no longer a husband in the picture, there's not really a way to have your needs being met. So the church was stepping up and loving the widows in this way by providing food, distributing food. And this issue was arriving. The Hellenistic Jews were saying, hey, our widows aren't getting their food. The Hebraic Jews are only giving food to the Hebraic widows and not getting around to the Hellenistic widows. So you're like, hold on, what's going on there? Well, this is just a cultural difference here. So what those two things are, they're all Jewish people. The Hellenistic Jews are Jews that have conformed to the Roman culture. So in this time period in Jerusalem, they are under Roman rule. And so there are Jewish people living under Roman rule. The Hellenistic Jews have conformed to the culture of the Romans. They've kind of taken on the culture of the Romans. They live like in the Roman sort of way. So that's Hellenistic Jews. The Hebraic Jews have said, no, we're going to stay in all our Jewish culture, all our Jewish traditions. We're going to stay in that. So it's kind of this, they're both Jewish, but they have these different ways to live. There's kind of some disagreements on how you're supposed to live between them and all that. And so there's some disagreements there. And so the Hellenistic Jews are saying, hey, when they're giving out the food, they're skipping out on our widows. And so here's this conflict that's risen, this cultural conflict that's going on, and this problem that needs to be solved. And so the solution is that the disciples say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's find some people full of the Spirit to oversee this ministry, to step up and meet this need, to make sure this ministry happens, and so that, we need more people to step up in ministry to fill these spots, to make sure this happens, so that the mission could then go forward. And so they assign these people to oversee the ministry, and then the result is verse 7. More and more disciples, the word of God spread, the number of disciples increases in Jerusalem. All right, so a culmination. And it's also interesting, I like to point out, all those names that they listed, they're Hellenistic names, they're Roman names. So they went out of their way to assign Hellenistic Jews to fill those spots, which I think is kind of a wise thing, right? To say, hey, you feel like you're getting left out, we're going to make sure you're not being left out, you're going to be in charge of it. That you see the need, all right, you're going to step up and fill that need. You're going to be the one doing this. And so they gave them the authority, gave them the position to oversee to make this happen. So what's the point of this? What are we getting at today? Here's our central truth today. Here's our main point that I want us to understand. The main point that we want to get out of this, it's this. The Holy Spirit, because remember, the Holy Spirit's the one at work. The Holy Spirit utilizes his people in ministry to accomplish the mission. The Holy Spirit utilizes his people in ministry to accomplish the mission. So here in this passion, this need for ministry arose in verse 1 because the church is growing. Verses 2 through 6 tells us about how the Holy Spirit stepped up and met that need, how he solved that need. And then verse 7 is a result, the mission was accomplished. So here we have, in order for the mission to be accomplished, the Holy Spirit moved in these people to fill these roles in ministry. That as the church was growing, these ministries were happening. It was almost like there was this cap going on, like they'd kind of bumped into the ceiling of what these 12 guys could do. And they realized, if this is going to keep growing, we need more people to step up. We need more people to step into these roles of ministry, to do this work, and to do this ministry so that the work of the Holy Spirit can continue. So these different people had to step into these roles of ministry because the Holy Spirit utilizes his people to accomplish the mission. So yes, let me point out though, that yes, the Holy Spirit called these people to step up and these people did step up, but I want us to not lose sight of this. It was the Holy Spirit who was doing the work. People stepped into the roles, but it was the Holy Spirit doing the work. What was the qualification that they had for the people that they were calling to fill these roles? You guys see what it was there? They had one qualification. Let's find people full of the Spirit. That was a qualification. People full of the Spirit. Because they knew it was the Spirit doing the work. They knew, that was in verse 3. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. So in order to fill, that was a qualification to be qualified for this job, is to be full of the Spirit. Because they knew that this is a work of the Spirit. If this ministry is going to happen, in order to accomplish the mission, the ministry needs to be done by the Spirit, which means these people need to be full of the Spirit. It wasn't saying, hey, let's choose the 7 most organized people we have to organize the systems necessary to fulfill this mission. It wasn't, let's find the 7 most successful businessmen that have proven the ability in the earthly world to do a great job in this sort of thing, and then we will then and put them in the position to organize these things. It wasn't choose the 7 biggest givers because it's most of their resources that are being used, so they should oversee it. It wasn't any of that. It was 7 people full of the Spirit. So in order for the church to grow, for this mission to be accomplished, people had to step up into these roles of ministry, because as more and more people were added, more and more ministries were needed. And the Holy Spirit utilized these people to accomplish his mission. And it's important to think, to understand, these are important roles too, because you could think, okay, Tom, they're handing out food. How much Spirit do we need to do that, you know? You need a car, you need an address, you need to be able to lift 20 pounds, right? Isn't that really what you need? I mean, what's the big deal? You're just passing out food. And it'd be tempting to think ministry, I could just pull this off. What's the Spirit have to do with this? Well, I'd like to point out, this was not a job for spiritual lightweights. I mean, check out these guys that were called to this. Do you guys recognize that first name? The people that they chose? First person they mentioned that was chosen for this ministry, Stephen. We know Stephen because in chapter 8, he is the first Christian martyred for his faith. Okay, this is not some spiritual lightweight. This is not a second-class job. Well, they go hand out food. No, they do the busy work while we do the real work. No, this was an important job, and it wasn't for a spiritual lightweight. This was a job to be done by the Spirit. And it ultimately led to him being martyred. So this was an important job. And check out the result. When they got this job right, when these 7 people stepped up full of the Spirit, fulfilled this job, verse 7 says, in response to that, so the word of God spread. So it's saying that the result of these people these people stepping up into ministry, so the word of God spread. The result of them stepping up and doing this ministry is the word of God was able to spread. The mission was accomplished. And accomplished so well, it's interesting that it says that the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So not just disciples, but Jewish priests were acknowledging Jesus as their Savior, that he is the Messiah, and they were converting and becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. That's a big deal because their main adversaries at this time were the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders that were feeling threatened by this. And probably a reason why Acts chapter 8 happened, where Stephen got martyred, that's probably a reason why the Jewish leaders reacted so strongly against the message of Christ, because they were seeing their brothers converting these Jewish priests converting and becoming followers of Jesus Christ, acknowledging, yeah, he is the Messiah. And so they react. That's probably weighed into that. That was a very important, significant thing that was happening. And the reason it was happening is because these men were stepping into these roles, these people were stepping into these roles, filled by the Spirit, so that the mission could be accomplished. Okay, so that's the truth. If the truth is just that the Holy Spirit utilizes his people in ministry to accomplish the mission, what does that have to do with us? Like, what does that mean for you and me? If that's how the Holy Spirit works, if he's accomplishing his mission by having us step up into ministry to accomplish the mission, what does that mean for us? Well, therefore, because of that truth, we each need to, one, we need to find our place in ministry. We just need to find our role in ministry, our place in ministry. We at City Lights Church, we consider ourselves a mission church, that we are a church on mission for Christ. And in order for us to accomplish that mission, I firmly believe, just like in Acts chapter 6, what's a necessary step in this is that we all find our place in ministry. We all find our position to serve in ministry, our spot in ministry. The place that there's a place I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit has prepared you for, has equipped you for, and wants to use you in serving in ministry, in doing a work he's equipped you for, he's prepared for you for it, and something that we need to actively pursue as a body of Christ, how he might use you in mission. City Lights Church, we used an analogy early on when we were first starting the church. Church is kind of like a big ship, right? We're a bunch of people in one entity, move in one direction. And we're all kind of in the same purpose and same goal, and we're all moving together in one direction. Often church can be viewed like a cruise ship, that everyone on the ship is there together for the same reason, and the reason they're on the ship is to have a good time. The reason the food is like it is because people like the food like that. The reason the activities are like they are is because that's how the people like the activities in the ship. Like, the whole point of the ship is for the people on the ship to enjoy the ship. City Lights Church, you probably tell if you've been here a while, we're not a cruise ship. We're more like a battleship. There's not fancy paint, right? It's just kind of a battleship. The reason the paint is because it serves a purpose. It's just kind of gray. Everybody on that ship, the reason they're there, they're still there. They're all unified by a reason, but it's a different reason. And the reason isn't their own enjoyment. The reason isn't like, hey, this is going to be great for me. The reason, because there's a mission to be done. And the reason on a battleship they serve them the food that they serve them is not because they're going to enjoy it so much. It's because it's the nourishment that they need to do the job. The reason the activities are what they are on a battleship, it isn't because, oh, they're going to love this. You know, they don't have shuffleboard tournaments on a battleship. They have training exercises. They have things that equip them and prepare them to accomplish the mission. We at City Life Church, we want to be a battleship. If we're left to our own devices, we're going to fall into just being a cruise ship. Oh, here's how we like things. We're just going to do things like we like them, because that's what we like. But we don't want to do that. We want to be on purpose. We want to be on mission, where all of us are doing our part, doing our role on mission for God, like a battleship. And we all have a part to play in this. The Bible in Romans 12:4, actually a few different places, but I'm going to read this passage to you. It talks about the church. It compares the church to the body of Christ. And that's what it says. For just as each of us has one body, it's talking about a physical body, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So it's saying that all of us, just like your body has all these different parts that do all these different things, the parts of the body are very different. They're created to do different things. They're equipped to do different things. They all have a role to play, but they're all united together in one body. And all those parts of the body are very needed, very important. Your eye is very different than your ear, which is very different from your big toe. They have very different jobs. They're equipped to do different things, but they're all very important. And you have all the parts of your body, and let's say one of your parts of your body decides they don't want to help out. Let's say the kidney decides, hey, I don't want to do kidney things today because I'm kind of tired, so I'm going to check out on doing kidney things. The rest of your body suffers because of that, because every part of the body is needed. And in the same way, we as the body of Christ, we are each uniquely gifted, created, purposed for a job, for a mission, to step up in ministry, to do a job for the greater mission. And the church is limited. So just like in Acts 6, they were limited because only a few people were doing the ministry. And they realized, hey, we need more people to step up and do ministry. More people stepped up to do ministry, and then the mission was accomplished, right? The more and more disciples came to obedience to Christ. Well, in the same way, I believe at City Lights Church, we can be capped out by the amount of people serving in ministry. There are so many ministries that need to be done here at our church. There's so many places to serve, so many things we would love to see happen here at the church that would be, the Holy Spirit could really utilize you in to serve and have an impact here in our neighborhood, in our city, in the world for his mission. Man, here at City Lights, we need a greeting ministry. We need somebody to oversee. We need people that be willing to be here to welcome somebody walking in the door for the first time. Somebody walked through the door for the first time today. They don't get greeted because we don't have greeters. We need greeting meters. We need people to step up and serve in greeting. We need someone to oversee follow-up, to help with checking in on people that haven't been here for a while. I know this is a weakness of mine. I'm good with the people that are in front of me. The people that I don't see, man, I'm just not good at that. Like, I know that's a weakness of mine. And that becomes a weakness of the church if no one steps up and does that. So we need people to help with follow-up, to check in on people that they've been gone for a while. We need people to oversee outreach and to be champions for the neighborhood to say, hey, when we do these outreach events, we need the gospel in it. How can we continue to be bringing the gospel to the community, gospel to the neighborhood? These are just all needs of the church. That's not to mention we need helpers in the children's ministry, people be willing to serve the kids. That's a ministry to serve in. We need help in the kitchen. Brenda does all the work preparing she gets help, but more people to help, the better. Help preparing the snacks and refreshments for people to create an environment that's welcoming people. We need help cleaning. Every other month, it's our responsibility to clean the church. And so we need people to step up and help with that task. It's a ministry to serve in. And you could say, oh, yeah, but Tom, that's just cleaning. No. That'd be like saying, oh, Tom, in Acts 6, they were just giving out food to people. Well, that was an important part of the mission. The Holy Spirit accomplished this mission by people stepping up into these roles of ministering. We need help in all these different areas. We need help with the website, keeping that up to speed. We have in our parking lot, every Sunday after church, we got like 24 people from Board and Cares that come here. I bet we have more people from Board and Cares in our parking lot than any place in this city. In a city of 500,000 people, we have the biggest congregation of people from Board and Cares in our parking lot. And wouldn't it be awesome if God raised up somebody and says, hey, I want to be a pastor to them. I want to minister to them and be there for them and walk with them. I want to help. How about this? The reason they're here is because Pastor Steve from Shoreline Church goes around and picks them up. He goes to all the different Board and Cares and brings them here so that they can hear the word. There's a very practical ministry, helping with rides, saying, hey, I'll do the pickup over to San Pedro. You do the one in North Long Beach and just to help drive people here is even a ministry to serve in. There are so many different places to serve, and these are only the ones that I could think of with my limited brain. I'm sure God could put on, or maybe has put on your heart, something even greater, something else that he's stirred in you and said, this needs to happen. You know, the Hellenistic Jews were saying, this needs to happen. Someone needs to provide food, for we got to make sure the widows are getting fed. And so they said, absolutely, you should do it. That's a great idea. And they put them in charge. So what I'm saying is maybe that thing that God's been putting on your heart is of God, and he wants you to do it. And you've been waiting around and say, come on, Tom, let's get the show on the road. Why aren't you doing that thing I want you to do? Because maybe he's put on your heart to do it. And so what is God going to do? How is God going to use you? How might he use you to step up, to serve in ministry, and then to see how God accomplishes his mission through that ministry? A lot of the ministries in the church, this is how they started. God put on somebody's heart, and then we said, yeah, that's great, let's do it. And then they helped lead it to happen. That's how Bless the Block started. Saw a need in the neighborhood, said, let's start to meet this need. So people stepped up and made Bless the Block happen. And that's the reason Awana happens. God put it on Noah's heart, said, hey, we need a program for the kids, and put this Awana program on. He said, all right, I feel called to do this. What do you think? I said, let's do it. And he leads it. That's why this women's discipleship group started, which then led the men's discipleship group started. Because God put on a heart and said, hey, this needs to happen. And, okay, I'll step up and do it. And God's using that to advance his mission, to accomplish his purpose. So what is God calling you to do? And I promise you, it's not nothing. That he has a job for you, a role for you. God's been equipping you. Maybe the experiences you've had is for a reason. Maybe it's God's brought you through your journey for a reason, to equip you to do ministry in a specific area. Maybe God wants to use you to accomplish his mission in a mighty way. And I sure hope he has, and I hope you discover it, because there's no greater joy than being used by your Creator in your God-given, the thing he created you to do, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And when you do that, when you accomplish your mission that you're created for, there's no greater feeling. You can chase that feeling all over the place. You'll never find it as great as when you experience the fulfillment of being used by God to accomplish your mission that he's given you. So that's one way to look at it, is to say, hey, how's God blessed me and how's God used me? But another thing I want to point out, don't limit yourself to just that. Because if I only will serve in the way things I'm good at, then often I'll say, look what I did. And I only serve according to my own strength. And we see in the Bible a lot of examples of Christ working through weakness. When he had to defeat Goliath, He didn't find the biggest, buffest dude. He found the little farmer boy to take on Goliath. When he had the huge job, colossal job of getting his truth, the gospel, out to the world, he didn't pick the 12 most influential people. He chose a bunch of fishermen and uneducated guys to do the job. He may want to use you in something outside, in your weakness, so that he gets the glory. And you might be saying, well, Tom, you're just saying that. Isn't this kind of all your job? You're the pastor. Shouldn't you be doing this? Well, one, if this church is dependent on the capacities of Terry and I, that's not good news. That's bad news. But two, the Bible makes it very clear that the pastor's job isn't to do the work of the ministry. The pastor's job is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's in Ephesians 4:11-12. So God gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. So our job as pastors is to equip you guys to do the work of the ministry. If it's just on us to do ministry, we're going to be capped. We're going to be limited. But when we're all plugged in and doing ministry, that's how the Holy Spirit works, to utilize his people to accomplish his mission. Okay, so that's the first one. Second one, we'll do this real fast. This second one's short, and then we'll be done on time today. So therefore, we need to find our place in ministry, and two, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In order to be useful for the kingdom of God, you must be walking in the Spirit. Again, that was a qualification. That was in Acts. Finds these seven people that are filled with the Spirit. And it's a qualification for you to serve in ministry is to be filled by the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one accomplishing the mission. And you think, well, Tom, it's just passing out food. I could do that. No, you can't. I mean, you could pass out food, but you won't be accomplishing the mission. Because the Holy Spirit's the one accomplishing the mission. So in order for you to really accomplish the mission, it's not just doing the work, it's being filled with the Spirit and then doing the work. If we're going to be successful in this, we need to be filled with the Spirit. My job as a pastor is to equip you for ministry. You know what that means? Pointing you to the Spirit. Helping you submit to the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. That is my job, to equip you for ministry, to help you to be filled with the Spirit, to live in light of that. But you might think, okay, Tom, but hold on, filled with the Spirit, I hear you saying that, but the Bible's pretty clear, right, that I know the Bible, and it says that if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's in me. I know from Ephesians chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit, when I've trusted in Christ, the Holy Spirit was given to me as a deposit guaranteeing my inheritance, as a seal marking me as one of God's own, one of his children, that the Holy Spirit is in me. So when you say be filled with the Spirit, what do you mean? Okay, there's an indwelling of the Spirit. This Holy Spirit is in all of us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you place your faith in him, the Holy Spirit is in you. This is talking about something else. Being filled with the Spirit. In that same letter to the Ephesians that Paul writes that you've all been given the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance, later on in the letter, five chapters later in Ephesians 5:18, he says, you be filled with the Spirit. So you who are indwelt with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. And so this idea of being filled with the Spirit is greater than just the indwelling of the Spirit. It's living life continually under the control of the Spirit. Living life under the lordship of the Spirit. Living life in submission to the Spirit. Living life in this constant presence of God. God is with us always, but we don't live always in the presence of God, right? Now, even though the truth is God is always with you, we don't live like he is. And so living, being filled with the Spirit, being guided and directed and living life in submission to the Spirit is living life in the constant presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that means submitting my mind to his, that my mind becomes his mind, that I begin to think like he thinks, and I'm aware of his presence and living. My mind is under the control of his lordship. And instead of being transformed, instead of being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. That is being filled by the Spirit, being living in that way, directed and guided by the Spirit. And we as a church need to be doing this. Because if we skip this stuff and said, all right, let's activate and all jump into ministry and we're doing it by our own strength, we're all going to get tired and nothing's going to happen and then we'll try something different next season of life. But if we live filled with the Spirit and step into ministry filled with the Spirit, then, oh boy, watch what will happen. Watch what God can do. Watch what he can do. So in conclusion, we got a mission. We are to be Christ's witnesses here in our city, in our region, cross-culturally to the world. We have a mission to do, and the Spirit accomplishes his mission through his people by utilizing us in ministry. So we need to be seeking out our purpose, seeking out our role, seeking our place in ministry, And we need to be submitted fully to the Spirit in our life. We need to be walking according to the Spirit. And if we do this, as we do this, I'm so excited to see what God wants to do through this little church. I want to see what he wants to do in our community. I want to see what he wants to do all over. I want to see what he will do with a room full of people fully submitted to him and his lordship, walking in his Spirit and seeking out their role and how we each can serve him in ministry. My challenge for you is this, is to find that place in ministry and walk according to the Spirit. So our closing question is this, are you participating in the Holy Spirit's mission for you? Are you participating in the Holy Spirit's mission for you? If yes, great. Continue in that. I want to encourage you and support you. If no, why not? Is it because you don't know where yet and you want to keep, you know, find a spot? Okay, let's find a spot together. Or is it that you're not walking in the Spirit? Let me help you in that. Let's join a discipleship group. Let's walk hand in hand as we live walking in the Spirit. And there's a new ministry you feel like God wants you to do. Awesome. Let's do it. I want to support you in that. I want to encourage you in that. I want to empower you in that. I want to see what God will do through you in that. So again, I'm excited to see what God might do through us. And it begins this Easter. Easter's right around the corner. What a great opportunity for us to step into ministry and to serve him through serve the Holy Spirit. Let him work through us through City Lights Church. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for not leaving us out of your work. We know you're not limited. We know you're not helpless. We know you're not stuck until we step up. But yet, you provide us the joy and fulfillment of being a part of your plan. You choose to include us, and we thank you for that. God, I pray for each one here that you would make us useful for you, that you would do that work in us through your Spirit, that you would lead us, guide us, transform us, help us to walk hand in hand with you, walking continually in your presence, full of your Spirit. And God, as we do that, show us where to serve, show us the need, show us how to step up. God, give us discernment in these ministries, and God, I pray for your direction in all this. And I can't wait to see what you're going to do through us and also in us as we serve you in that way. Thank you so much, God. In Jesus' name, amen.